Well, good morning and welcome to our Advent sermon series, The Journey. Life is certainly a journey. And really, for all of us, our journey began long before we were born. Our journey in life begins with all of the people that came before us. You can go back in time as far as you want and see the many journeys that culminated into your life. And sometimes that can be fun, especially for those who can trace the roots back multiple generations. And personally, that kind of stuff fascinates me. I know I come from a long line of farmers that over time migrated west from New Jersey in the 1600s. I know that my parents had their own journeys that took them away from the farm, and some parts of their journeys were not so pleasant. But despite the unpleasant twists and turns, eventually their paths led to having me. And my parents tried to shape my journey from my birth. They loved me. They taught me. They encouraged me. And yes, they disciplined me. My mom took me to church. My dad taught me lessons about life. They pushed me in school and sports and other activities, all in the hope that they would prepare me for the journey that I would choose in life. And isn't that the typical upbringing for most of us? Our parents worked hard to prepare us for the journey of life. And some of us got to choose our journey. Some of us may have been nudged into a certain direction. But for some people, it almost seems that the journey chooses them. Look at many of the star athletes, who many people knew from a very young age that they were destined for greatness. And for others, their journey seems natural, a perfect fit. And I think we have all known people that grew into a career that was just perfect for them. Maybe it was someone who was just that ideal teacher. Maybe somebody who was that perfect nurse or doctor. Or that engineer who just had a mind that could create like no other. But there are times when our journey can change without warning. Injuries, illnesses, death, a plant closing, a fire, a tornado, a divorce. And there are many other things that have changed and shaped journeys. But above all of these things, there is one major determining factor that most of us overlook in our journey of life, and that is God's calling. Because there is one force that can bring about the unexpected, and that force is God. God has created many unexpected journeys from very unsuspecting people. Take Noah, for example, a simple, God-fearing man who one day is called to build a boat for an unexpected plan to flood the earth and start over. Abraham, a simple, elderly, God-fearing sheepherder, and God used him at his advanced age to create a nation, all through his son Isaac, whom he almost killed. And Moses, what about his unexpected fate? From a basket in the river to the house of Pharaoh. And then he became a murderer and then an outcast and then called to deliver Israel out of Egypt. In the Old Testament, we read about a prostitute named Rahab, a foreign-born woman who helps Joshua and his spies escape and then later marries a man named Salmon. And their children continue to the line of David. And David becomes the unexpected hero when he defeats Goliath and goes on to conquer Israel's and becomes Israel's mighty king. And he became such a great conqueror that his territory spread all the way to Egypt and nations that surrounded him feared him. But faithful David became an adulterer, a murderer, and the end of his reign was filled with chaos and killing. And just one generation later, the kingdom of Israel that was once mighty split into two halves. One half of that kingdom is quickly conquered. And then about 400 years later, the Babylonians conquer and carry the remainder of the Jews into captivity. And then the rest of the story is that the nation is rescued and lost and rescued and lost. Till we come to the time of the birth of Jesus, when the Romans had came and conquered through their empire. They occupied and dominated the very promised land to Abraham. Now, all of this doesn't sound like a very good plan, does it? It's not really what we would expect from a line of people called children of God. God promised the whole world would be blessed through the line of Israel. And for much of their story, they were a people with failure after failure. Not a whole lot to be proud of. And yet Matthew opens his book with what? Matthew 1 says, "This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And then if we were to continue, you would see a whole line to David and another line from David down to Joseph and Mary. And Matthew doesn't whitewash it. If we were to read the whole list, we would see that Matthew includes all the dirty secrets of that history. He includes the list of people in the line of Jesus, including prostitutes, adulterers, and murderers. But it was through this line a great and mighty Messiah would come, the Savior of Israel, the Savior of the world. And then one day, in the middle of a know-nothing little town, God sends an angel to a know-nothing little girl. And today's terms, we might call her trailer park trash. The little girl from the wrong side of the tracks. Oh, sure, she was from the line of David, and she was engaged to a man from the line of David. But in reality, as we just discussed, that line isn't much to brag about. And she couldn't be farther from being considered anything royal. She wasn't even from a royal city. She was from Nazareth, a rural town that people often made fun of. In fact, there's even a joke in the New Testament about Nazareth. And for Mary, she probably thought her journey was set. She was from a poor and humble working class parents. She would never be one of the haves. She would always be one of the have-nots. And it would be her job to serve the more affluent haves. She was a good and faithful Jewish girl who planned to follow her parents' bidding and comply with the arranged marriage to Joseph. And then to live an ordinary life of being a good Jewish woman, bearing as many children as she could. Mary had no great expectations. She knew what her lot in life was, and she figured she was on her journey. But then we read in Scripture, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, this was certainly an unexpected turn in the life of Mary. She had no expectations of grandeur. She didn't consider herself somebody to be highly favored. And the scripture says in verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Mary was troubled. She must have been asking herself, who is this guy? Is he for real? Am I dreaming? This is not normal. It can't be happening. Things like this just don't happen to a nobody girl like me. And in verse 30, but the angel said to her, but do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. The angel says, it's true, Mary. Your journey in life has prepared you for this moment. Because of your faith and your willing spirit, God has found favor with you. But Mary is still in disbelief. She said, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. You see, her plans were already set in motion. Her life was exactly what it was supposed to be. She was living out her faith. She was honoring her parents. She was faithful to Joseph. She was already doing all that she thought in life that she should be doing. But God had greater plans for her. God had another journey in mind. God has a journey planned for each of us. And it doesn't matter what age we are, whether you are a child, a youth, or a young adult, or even a more seasoned adult. God can and will use you if you are willing. Mary was maybe 13 to 15 years old, but Abraham was in his 90s. David was a young boy when he conquered Goliath, and Moses was 80 years old when he was called to stand in front of Pharaoh. God's greatest stories are in using people, the unexpected people, on unexpected journeys. And I sincerely believe that God has a journey for all of us, both as individuals and as a church. God can do unexpected things in your life. And God can do unexpected things through this church. And in order for us to find that journey, we must be like Mary. We must start with a life devoted to our faith. We must draw ourselves closer to God. And as we walk with Him, we begin to hear Him. And we begin to see His messengers in our lives. Now, not all of us will be visited by angels in the form that we think of angels. But God may use people around us as messengers. You may not know that I felt first called to be a preacher when I was about 6 or 7 years old. By the age of 12, I had already given my first sermons. But as the teenage years hit, I decided that I should be on another journey, and I went a different way. And looking back, I see many different messengers God put into my life to try to speak to me, but I didn't listen to any of them. And I was in my 30s when my journey led me to the campus of Indiana Wesleyan University in Westchester. And while earning a degree in business, one of my teachers wrote on a note of my paper, and she said, you should be a preacher. And that time I heard the message. But I wasn't sure how or when or how it would even be possible for God to make me a preacher. But I still needed another messenger, and then another messenger, and maybe a couple more messengers. I had departed from God's original journey when I was 12. But God has been able to take my bad choices and still use me. And despite the detours that I caused, I finally surrendered to Him. I answered His call. And now I am back on the journey that He has called to me. I was 28 years late. But all along, God never gave up on calling me back to the journey He had for me. There were times I wasn't listening and God was calling, but He kept calling and kept calling until I heard. And then He kept calling until I said yes. You see, God has a journey for you. God is calling you to live in communion with Him. He calls all of us to honor and worship Him. He calls all of us to be His church. But our journey is so much more than just coming to church. Being the church means that we become His servants and follow the journey He has chosen for us. And each of us are to answer His call. And when we come together, we find that our journeys were made to work together for even greater things. And I'm telling you that God's messengers have been talking to you. You may not feel worthy. You may feel incompetent. But God is still talking to you. And the question is, are you listening? God may not be using some angelic light being to come speak to you, but God can speak to you through Scripture, through sermons, through friends, through family, and God's Holy Spirit can reveal things to you in your thoughts. And He can put desires in your heart. Question is, are you willing to answer the call like Mary? And verse 38, as I am the Lord's servant, may your word to me be fulfilled. It's quite a statement, isn't it? A little girl from nowhere. God says, I want to do something great through you. And she says, I'm yours, Lord. Whatever it is, may your word be fulfilled through me. I hope and pray that as we look at these journeys in the coming weeks, that God will speak to you. I pray that He will reveal to you the journey He has for you. A journey that no matter your age, no matter your current situation, and no matter how many mistakes you have made in the past. Because I promise you, nobody is more unworthy to stand up here than I am. But I am proof that God can and will use you if you surrender and follow Him. I don't know for sure where that journey may lead you. Maybe to a certain kind of ministry. Maybe it's to be teaching Sunday school. Maybe it to become something else in the church. I don't know what it is, but God has a plan to use each of you. And God has called this church to a specific kind of journey. And I believe that God has great things for all of us if we are willing to answer in the same way. Are we willing to say, Lord, we are your servants. Lord, may your word be fulfilled through us. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story of this young lady named Mary. She was not educated. She only knew a small part of her little world around her. She likely had not traveled very far in her life. But yet she was faithful to her customs. She was faithful to her parents. She was faithful to Mary Joseph. But more importantly, she was faithful to you. And you saw in her somebody who was willing, somebody who was going to be asked to take on a task that no other person could imagine, to not only carry the Savior of the world, but to raise the Savior of the world and to watch the Savior of the world die. Lord, it is a gift and a blessing with this story. And Lord, we see that you can call anybody at any time, from any place, and from any state. For it is your grace and your mercy that redeems us and gives us our value. Our value does not come of our own, but our value is found in you. And for whatever you have called us to be, you will give us the strength and the gifts to accomplish it, so that your glory may be seen and not ours. Lord, as we move forward to the end of this year and we look forward to next year, Lord, let us continue on the journey that you have called us to. Let us be the church that you have called us to be. Let us be a church of growth, of repentance, of grace, of mercy. Let us be a church of light and assurance to a lost world. Let us be a church who stands firm in the Scripture. But most of all, let us be a church that celebrates your Son, Jesus Christ, and greatly shares the news of salvation so that others may come to know you and they too may share in that same faith and the eternal promises you have for us. Lord, all of this we ask and pray through your precious Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. We are on a journey for Advent. Advent is a time in the church where we prepare ourselves for the coming Messiah. So our next 4 weeks of Advent, I want you to be in prayerful consideration this week of what journey God is calling you to. We are to be more than just a group of people that gather on Sunday mornings. We are to be a people of action. A people that should travel down the path that God has laid out for us. And where we go wrong is when we decide where I want to go and where I want to do and what's best for me. Mary said, "I am a willing servant." Are you a willing servant? Let us leave here today in thoughtful consideration and think and pray to God to reveal to us where He has called us to go and who He has called us to be. And let us leave here knowing that we are loved, forgiven, and redeemed people of God. And go out into this world in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.